identified tonight as the 9th of October, the year 2002. We are now at the very top of Megillah, Chaf Hei Omed Aleph, 25A in Megillah. All right. And the Mishnah starts in by talking again about the theme of heretical teachings or heretical practices. And it says, Yivarchucha Tovim, if somebody says in Hishmona Esra, may good people bless you, Harezu Derech Hamidus, then we say that this is a form of heresy. Why is it a form of heresy? So Rashi explains. Rashi says, She'eino kolel v'shoyim v'shivcha, v'shomokim. He does not include the wicked in praising God. The Chachamim lamdu, and our sages taught us that, and this is a very interesting thing, you know, because we say, you know, every Shabbos, or if you daven every day, and you say, you know, the complete brachas in the morning, so we have what we call Pitum HaKtoris. Remember that?
Right,
Pitum HaKtoris. Which means, what are the various things that were that went into the compounding of the incense that they used in the Beis HaMikdash, okay? So it's written that Zori, Achelbeno, Halvoino, etc., etc. Now, everything, every one of those ingredients were very, very fine ingredients, with one exception, and that is the Chelbeno. What is the Chelbeno? It's a weed of some sort that has a not very pleasant smell. And of course, the Gemara in Crisis wants to know, why do we use Chelbeno in it? The Chelbeno is a Reach Ra, he says. The smell is bad. Right? Ubenoa Hakosu Ben Sabimoni Haktoris. So nevertheless, the Torah has included it among the various ingredients that went into making the incense. So Shematzmichin Hakosu Bahor, which the let me top with my eyes right now. Okay. Yep, Shematzmichin Hakosu, the Hatzil son. The Yospa Gura Achas. Why does the Torah include them that it has to be joined together with others? So then I have to add that there is a teaching over there that says that in a fast day, of course this is particularly true as Yom Kippur, as far as Yom Kippur is concerned, but on the fast day, if you do not also include Jewish sinners among them, among the people who are praying, then it's, the fast is not going to be successful. It is for this basic reason that if you recall, just before we begin to say Kol Nidre on Yom Kippur night, there's a passage which is repeated by the Chazan, usually three times. I had to tell Rabbi Tzedi to do it three times, because in practice to do it only once. And the passage says, the yeshiva shel mavo, the yeshiva shel mato, adas habokim, adas hakohol, in other words, with the agreement of the heavenly body and the heavenly bezdin, and the bezdin here, and we permit our prayers to be recited together even with sinners. The idea being that a sinner who comes in to daven, hopefully he's going to do tshuva, and Rebbeinu Shalom, you know, will hear his prayers.
Okay.
Right. So, therefore, we don't want to exclude sinners and say they're not Jews or something like that, because we are hoping that they too will eventually see the light and serve the Rebbeinu Shalom, so that this would be considered Derech Minas. Yes, sure.
It just occurs to me, you know, because of the Oli Alfet, that we are all sinners, that everyone has...
Yeah, we all have a share, there. Right, because...
There wouldn't be any confessional.
Yeah, right.
We didn't all do something there.
Yeah, it represents the responsibility that one Jew has for another. This is essentially what it is, right? And therefore, we include everybody. Of course, even if we ourselves are not guilty of these things, but nevertheless, we have permitted a situation to exist wherein, you know, this kind of evil or sin does exist.
Is that
yeah.
why they include the oven on the end of the summon?
Yeah. Right. Okay. So the Mishnah then says, if someone says only that, then that's heresy. Or if a person says, al kan tzipor yagir rachamecho, yatov yizocha shemecho. One or two other things. The one says, for example, al kan tzipor yagir rachamecho. Just as your mercies extend to the nest of a bird, so may, in other words, then so may you also show your mercy unto us, is the idea. All right? So, why? So we'll discover in the Gemara that the reason is that the Torah is very much anxious, okay? I'll read it again, the Rashi over here, okay? Rashi starts on the fourth line over there. It says, Al kan tzipor yagir rachamecho. Rashi always begins first by quoting what it is that he wants to comment on, okay? So he says, Kaloshon hazeh, in this way, this is how he phrases it. He says, Rachamecho magiyin al kan tzipor, right? Just as your mercies extend to the nest of a bird, kach chutz v'rachim oled. So, likewise, have pity, forgive us, and have pity upon us. Okay. Why? We'll discover afterwards in the Gemara that Shematu Kido, because the rabbis were very sensitive to the fact that why should favoritism be shown to birds, when God's mercies extend not just to the birds, but also to all animals, all creatures, exactly. Right. What am I saying, Ashrei? Tovat Hashem lakol, right? God is good unto all. Racham ov, al kol masov, and His mercies are over all His creatures. Right. Okay, another one is al tov yizocher shebecha. Person gets up to daven, and he says, right? We thank you for all the good things that you do to us. Or the next one, or if he repeats, and he says, modim, modim. In other words, not just modim on Abdullah, we thank you, but he says, modim, modim on Abdullah. So what's wrong with that? So he says, Gemara will explain it, but at any rate, what is the practice? So the Mishnah says, Mishaskin or so. You have to quiet him. You have to shut him up. In other words, you tell him shah, or you get another bal tefillah to daven for the other instead of him. Okay. There, of course, the problem with modim is simply that it might seem that he wants to praise Hashem, and he wants to praise some other power. In other words, it's the denial of the power of God. You have to realize, too, there is this where later they had the problem, you know, of fighting the Christians who developed this whole idea of, you know, of a Trinity. Okay. But those Jews who lived in Babylonia, they also had their problems. They lived in a place where the official religion is what we call Zoroastrianism.
Yeah.
Okay? And the basic tenet of Zoroastrianism is that there were two gods. One was the god of light, and the other one was the god of darkness. In other words, light was the good god, and the other one represent the god of evil. Okay. So obviously, we don't want to imply in any way that we believe in a god who is the god of good, but is not the god of evil, or something like that. Because we say that the Ribbono Shel Olam causes all kinds of things to happen to us. Sometimes it's good, and sometimes it's not so good. But we don't understand, you know, the rationale at all times of what the divine justice is, or something like that. It's obvious. So, at any rate, we are afraid that this person is a heretic, also, and so, Mishaskin Asoy. Then it says, Hamachane Ba Royos, Mishaskin Asoy. This has nothing to do with David. This has to do now with interpretation of the Torah. Okay? The Arroyos this is happens to be chapter 18 in Sefer Vayikra. Okay, we read it to Mincha on Yom Kippur. Okay, where we read about all kinds of prohibited relationships. Right, it's called Arroyos because of the fact that the phrase that we find again and again in that particular chapter is Ervas, so and so and so and so and so forth. In other words, the nakedness literally of so and so on, we are not to reveal. In other words, to have sexual relations with this one, that one, the other one, so on. Okay? So that's called Arroyos. So what is this person doing? So Hamachane over here means if he uses it and he gives it not the actual interpretation, but it says some far-fetched interpretation. Today we use the word kinuyim, and so in the sense of suffixes or nicknames or something like that. Okay, as for example, we'll say Tzvi Hamachuna Hersh, which means his name is Tzvi, but everybody calls him Herschel. Okay? You understand?
Yeah.
Or, let's say Dov Hamachuna Bear, or something like that. You know, because Dov means a bear. Okay? So the Hebrew name that he has actually is Dov, but Hamachuna Beryl, everybody calls him Beryl. So this is what they're saying over here, that in studying the Torah, understand literally what it says and don't give it some fanciful interpretation that has nothing to do with the actual text itself. This is what he's saying. Okay? So Mishaskin, so if he goes and he preaches that in public, so we silence him. Okay? Omer, and if a person says, it says, you know, the pasuk over there in the same chapter that I told you about, in Leviticus 18, right, where you create Yudches. It says, and from your children, or your seed, literally, you shall not cause to pass through the fire. I mean, that's not written over there, but that's what's written later on in the prophets. They explain what they did. To give to Moloch, right, as a sacrifice to Moloch.
Who is Moab?
Moloch was the god of Moab. Moab, right. And how did they observe they observed the either literally, if we understand the prophets, they actually burnt their children.
Was it their first child?
Yeah. Well, in some cases it might be the first child, right? Because Micah, the prophet, asks, shall I give, in other words, shall I make a sacrifice of my firstborn in order to atone for my sin? We find that the king of Moab, when he was besieged by the people of Israel, he sacrificed his oldest son this way in order to avert defeat at the hands of the Jewish army, and it happened.
So what are they saying? To be very careful. You don't have a license to go off.
To go off and give it a different interpretation, which has nothing to do with the actual interpretation. And he gives the example over here. He says, "Zarachalo siten avil amol." He says. And he interprets it in the following way. He says, Lo sitain la bor bar ben yuso, right? In other words, do not give your seed, you know, mizaracho, right?
Yeah.
Of course, zera is seed. But seed very often means children, right? Mm-hmm. But in this case, this guy says that means zaracho. It means that, you know, in other words, your sperm, okay? Do not give in order to impregnate an Aramaic woman, in other words, a shiksa.
No.
Don't create a child with a shiksa, okay? That's what it means, la havila mona, okay? Because what would be the result? The child will grow up and not be a Jew, okay? So it says, don't interpret the pasuk that way. We have other ways in order to denounce the practice, right? But, as we'll see, it's not exactly the translation of this particular phrase. This particular phrase is meant to be taken in its literal sense. Don't practice this type of idolatry. Don't sacrifice your children to idolatry. Okay. So, Mishaskinus of Nezifa, what do we do with all these false interpretations? You shut them up and rebuke them. Okay. All right. So now, having said that, we see now that now the Gemara wants to explain, you know, these different things that we have. Okay. Fishable. Okay, when it came to the fact that it's modim, I mean that the Mishnah prohibited a person from saying, says the Messer could stay with Shuyas, right? Because it appears as though he is giving thanks to two different deities, okay? The Altov Yizach Hashmecha, Nami. Why do they prohibit that? That you shouldn't say, and for good things the name should be mentioned, should be remembered. The Mashma, because it would seem from this that Alatov, you're right, in other words, we praise God for the good things, in, that means yes, the Al-Ra, lo, but not for the evil that happens to us. Utnan, and this is a very famous Mishnah that we have in the Gemara and Brachas later on, where it says, Chayev Odom Levorech Al-Hura, or Kishem Shimon Vorech Al-Tevah, that a person is required to bless God even for the bad things that happened to him, even as he blesses him for the good things that happened to him. I mean, this is why, for example, you know, we lose somebody, we still have to thank God. I mean, we have different brachas. I mean, for example, we say Baruch Dayanemas, you know, we praise God who is the righteous judge and so on, because even the bad things that happened to us. Same story about Rabbi Akiva, you know, who said that all his life, even as he was being tortured to death by the Romans, and he smiled and he was happy, and the Roman torturer asked him, you know, how could you, why? Well, he said, you know, that every day in my life, I said, thou shalt love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might, right? And I said, will I ever be able to actually fulfill this? And now that I am fulfilling this, right, with all, you know, so he was happy. Right. It's famous agada that we have, you know, with the last chapter of the Brachos, right? Yep. Okay. Now, the next, one of the other things I was mentioned, what is the reason that they object to having somebody get up and say, your mercies extend even to the nest of a bird, right? What reason, you know, that the sages say, Shatskin and Kol, keep them quiet? So there's a machlokes between two of the Amoraim, two of the early teachers, as to the reason for it, the Ma'arova in Eretz Yisrael. Rabbi Yosef Bar Ovin, Rabbi Yosef Bar Zvida. These were the two who disagreed as to what the interpretation would be. Chad Omar, one said, Yipnei Shematil Tino B'Maseh Vereishis. Okay? Because, he says, he causes jealousy to exist among all the handiworks of Hashem. I mentioned it a few minutes ago that, for example, the implication might be that God has mercy on the birds, but he does not have mercy on the animals, the chayos, the behemoths, and so on and so forth, whereas we are taught that, that God's mercies extend to all his creatures, okay? So that would be one reason, according to one authority. The other authority says, no, I have a different reason. He says, the implication, the reason being that he gives the impression that the attributes of Hashem only exist of mercy, right? The Einon Eligazeros. But in reality, practically everything that we observe is what? The Rebbe Mirshalem says, this is the law in the Torah, and this is the law in the Torah, and so on. So, in other words, we have to accept God's commandments and do them because this is what He has commanded us to do. So our lives have to be in accordance with God's commandments, and not simply, you know, to say, well, okay, Hashem is merciful here, and so on. All right. yes. All right. Then the Gemara continues and says, "Ahu denochis kamei de rabba." There's a certain baltfila, a certain rabbi, whoever it was, got up in order to daven the Shemoneh Esrei in the presence of Rabba. Okay. Omar. This is what he said in his davening. Atoch hasol kan sipar. Atoch husper rachim aleinu. This is why Rashi quoted that before. In other words, you have shown pity to, you know, to the bird's nest, so therefore have pity upon us, okay? Have mercy and compassion upon us, okay? And in brackets, we have another case over there, which may or may not belong in the text. The marginal note on the right says, Ben Yaakov, listen, Ben Yaakov did not include this next phrase that's in the parentheses over there. But it's another example of what he might have said. You had pity upon an animal and its offspring, so have pity upon us. So this is a different law. This we recite. I mean, we read this in the Torah in Parsha Emor, where it's written that when an animal gives birth, let's say a cow gives birth to a calf, okay? So first of all, it says that Shmonas Yomim Yetachasimo, right? For 8 days, the animal has to be under its mother, in other words, over the grave. And then it also says, you know, that you're not allowed, Osu Yespeno, Chatu Biyomechot, you're not allowed to kill both mother and child the very same day. Although also it would seem to indicate the bull, but as the Gemara says in the Chulin, we don't know which bull fathered. It's easy to figure out a cow mothering a calf, right? But which bull fathered it, this we don't know. So that therefore the implication is that this law applies to the mother, that we're not allowed to slaughter both calf and mother the same day. So just as the Rebbe Mirshalem had mercy upon these animals, according to this, so also we pray that Hashem should have mercy upon us and Bishatskin. So it's not the way to say it. All right. So Amar Rabba, Rabba said, when he heard this guy say, you know, about the bird's nest, have pity upon us, just as you have pity. So he says, Kamu Yoda Hai Rabban Ritzuya Demore. Oh, that rabbi certainly knew how to praise God. So Omale Abaye. So Abaye said to Rabbi, he says, well, Amish Haskin, I say to Don, didn't we learn the Mishnah that you have to shut him up? So how come you're praising that guy? And said, so it says, so they say, well, Rabbi Lechadudil Abaye Hu Deboa. Okay? So what he really wanted was to test Abaye to see whether Abaye remembered his Mishnah that it was Amish Haskin or so. Okay.
Now, as far as the bird and the tree, the ruling about not...
it says if you want to take the eggs, then shalach to shalach is...
The mother bird doesn't see it. You chase the mother bird away.
Right.
Does that sort of tie in with this having mercy on the...
Yeah, right. That's what I meant, exactly. Yeah. Right.
So there is this law, and there's the one about not killing...
The two separate ones, exactly. Right. As I said, the Enyako left out the second one, which is why this is in parentheses, not text over here. Okay. All right. So now another mice. Okay.
I don't get the conclusion of this one, though.
The conclusion of this one, because it should not be said. For what reason? First of all, we said, one explanation we gave is that it would cause jealousy among all creatures that,
right,
you know,
right,
okay,
so
that we understand. Right. But the other reason that we said is that you implied that the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, right, everything is only through mercy, whereas we have to observe God's commandments because they are His commandments. Gezeirosof, Shel Mokom. That's the reason why. All right. Now another case of somebody who they decided he's sounding too forcefully. Okay. Says, Hahu denochis chame de Rabbi Chanina. There was a certain guy, a certain man, who got up in order to daven Shemin Esrei. You know, he was the chassan, in other words, in the presence of Rabbi Chanina. Omar, so he sat in the Shemin Esrei and he said, Hoel, Hagodol, Hagibor, Vihanero, Hoadir, Vihachozok, Vihanit. In other words, only that God who is great and mighty and fearsome, right, but also who was powerful and strong and bold. And so Omalei, so what did Rabbi Chanina say to him? He said, Siyamtihu l'shivchei d'morach. Tell me, that's all the phrase words that you could find in speaking about your master, your God, right? Hashta. Now, he says, Hanit lasa. We say three. What do we say? Hoel Hagodol Hagivaner, right? We say God who is Godol Givaner. He says, Ilav dechasvinhu Moshe Baraiso. If it weren't for the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu wrote these three words in the Torah, the also Knesses Hagdola v'Takninhu, and then the Knesses Hagdola, the members of the Great Assembly came. Remember, we spoke about them when we first started to learn Gemara Megillah, and they made they were the ones who set up the formal prayers, you know, that we say the Nusach and so on. So Ananu, we would not say it. Why? Because can we ever really, you know, praise God sufficiently? And this is what he continues and he says to him, right? The At Amrit Kulei Hai, and you said all those different things. So, of course, we have Hoel HaGodol HaYu HaNeira. This we have, actually, we find it in Parsha Ekev, in Deuteronomy, where Moshe says, you know, Hoel HaGodol HaYu HaNeira, right? God is great and mighty and fearsome and so on and so forth, to be revered, okay, and so on. So since we have the phrase over there, what Moshe Rabbeinu said, this is why we say it in Shemin Esrei. But otherwise, can we really find enough words how to praise the Rabbeinu Shel Olam? Can't. And he gives him a mashal. You know what a mashal is?
Mm-hmm.
An example or a parable, okay? Can be compared to a man who possessed thousands upon thousands upon thousands of gold denarii. Okay, but it's based upon a Latin coin. The denarii is denarii. Okay, the hoya mekalsin oso be'elef dinrei kesef, or simply hoya mekalsin oso be'dinrei kesef, because the word be'elef is, it's actually in parentheses, probably does not make sense over here. Anyway, what did they praise him? They praised him for the fact that he owned silver denarii. In other words, here was the man who was so rich that he couldn't even begin to count how many millions he had, and they said, he's a wealthy person. Instead of saying he's a billionaire, a triple millionaire, and things like that. So, what is the comparison? Comparison who is obviously the Rebbeinu Shel Olam deserves millions and millions and millions of phrases for his, you know, to describe him. And how can you adequately do it by praising him just with a few? Beyond what, as I said, we have already learned, it says. Genai Hulot. you know, if you use, you know, you only praise him for something, you know, which is minute, only. So in that case, it's like an insult unto him. Okay. And then, since we quote Rabbi Chanina, we have another very, very famous statement that he made. Omer Rabbi Chanina. Rabbi Chanina said, furthermore, he says, Hakol b'yidei shamayim chutz mi'ira shamayim. Everything is in the hands of heaven except for the fear of heaven. That is for human beings. That the Rabbeinu Shalom does not control. You have the right and the duty, in other words, you know, to fear him, to revere him, and so on and so forth. But that is not under the control of the Rabbeinu Shalom.
Franklin Roosevelt said about fear.
Yeah.
The same
thing. Well, not the fear, but fear itself. Right, right.
From the Talmud.
Yeah. Some say he got it from his the headmaster at Groton, or something like that. He was an Episcopalian minister in any case. Yeah. Okay. So, this is what he said. Well, Shenemar, he says, we have the Pasuk. The Pasuk says, we are to Yisrael, and now we Israel. What does the Lord thy God ask of you? Kiyim liyiro. Only to have respect, have reverence for him. So, if we take a look at this Pasuk, he says, Miklal, we could come to the conclusion, the Yira Mirsas of the Sohi, yeah, right? We might think then that reverence for God is a very, it's only a small thing, it's a minor thing, it should be very easy to do, right? So he says, In, yeah, it is so, the Gabe Moshe Rabbeinu. For Moshe Rabbeinu, Taka, it could be a minor, you know, a small matter. Okay, but what is the implication? For us, it is not a very easy thing to be able to feel reverence for God. That's a much more difficult thing for us, okay? And he says again, he gives a mashal. Mashal the Yodam, Shavakshim Menu Kli Godom. Okay? Parable is story of a man from whom people ask for a very large object, for a very expensive object. The Yeshlo, right? And he owns it, he has it. So, Domer Lof Yechli Koton. So to him it seems that it's not, you know, a major thing, it's only a minor thing. But Koton Yeinlo, however, a person who has, you know, a cotton, a minor thing, the Yenlo, but he doesn't even own it, doesn't possess it, doesn't have, in other words, let's say you hardly have a penny to your name or something like that. So, Domer Lof Yechli Godol. So, to him, it seems that this is a very, very large thing to ask for. Okay? So, we have to understand what is the parallel after all. If you have a marshal, we have to apply it to something, right? So what he's saying, in other words, is this. Look, for Moshe Rabbeinu, who was rich in all kinds of mitzvahs, in Torah, he communicated with the Rabbeinu Shalom, and so on and so forth. So for him to say, you know, what does God expect of you? The only thing he wants of you is what? Yira. So, okay. So for him, it's like a minor thing, you know. But on the other hand, for those of us who don't have the qualities of Moshe Rabbeinu, for us, it's a much, much, much more difficult thing, and we shouldn't, you know, relegate it as a minor thing. Okay, we'll go down to the Mishnah, we'll call it a night over here. Okay? So I'm running out of steam, and. okay. All right. Omer Rabbi Zera. Rabbi Zera said, Omer Shema Shema. Somebody says Shema Shema Yisrael Yisrael or something like that, it's as if he's saying Moedim Moedim Domi. Seems like it, right? In other words, is this the way we should say Shema Shema Moedim, you know, Hashem Hashem Kenon Kenon Moedim, and so does that make sense? So Meisvei, so to this they ask a kasha from another quotation that they have where it's written HaKorei Yeshema the Koflo if somebody reads the Shema Yisrael and he says it over again, Harei Zeh Megunah. So it's not praiseworthy. So he say Megunah, all right, the Havei. So it's not praiseworthy, but Shuki Lo Mishastin, I say, you shouldn't, you know, silence him if he does it. So he says Lo Kasha. There's not really a difficulty between these two ideas. Hod Omar Milso Milso, V'Toni Lo. Hod Omar Psuka Psuka, V'Toni Lo. Says if he says it word by word, and so on. So this, you know, it's not nice, but if he says one verse and then repeats the verse, says a verse and repeats the verse, and then he says that's not right. Mishaskin or so. Okay, so Amalei Rav Papa the Rava. So Rav Papa said to Rava, the Dilma Miyakora Lo Kivin Date V'Hashto Kivin Date. Why do you say that repeating the Shema is such a terrible thing? Maybe at first when he said the Shema, he did not have kavana, right? And now he wants to have kavana when he says it. So Amalei, so he says, well, he says, Chavruso Kalape Shmaya. He says, a person who doesn't have kavana when he first begins to say the Shema, he says, you know what that is? He's acting disgracefully towards the Rebbeinu Shleilu. You should have kavana when you daven. Don't consider right. Don't consider Rebbeinu Shleilu such a buddy that you talk to him not in the way you should address him, but you know, but sort of like a buddy basis or something like that. So he should have kavana to begin with. And if he doesn't have kavana, you know what I would do? He says, I would take a hammer, a blacksmith's hammer. Mazafta is the hammer, and the napcha is the blacksmith. And I would give him a klop until he has kavana. Well, I don't have to tell you. I don't see anybody today who stands with a hammer over us. But
hammer
at any rate,
into his head.
Yes.
Right. That's
right,
where they got
right.
The hammer into
right.
The head.
But at any rate, there's no question what that we should daven with kavana.
But doesn't it also happen when we're doing the prayers that sometimes you know them so well that you begin to say them sort of almost by rote and your
yes.
mind begins to wander?
Yeah, unfortunately it happens.
That happens.
It happens.
It's a human element.
Yes, it happens.
Human element.
Therefore, very frankly, our sages have recommended that you daven from the sitter. Because if you daven from
right.
the siddur, then your eyes will be following you have greater kavana.
Right.
Well, I find that very often I have more kavana davening, but that's my own personal predilection. Okay. All right. Finally, the last thing commenting on this mission that we had, Habachana ba'aroyas b'shaskilu say, if somebody comes to the passage about the arroyos, as I said, the prohibited marriages, right? And he uses a different interpretation other than the real meaning of it, then in that case we silence him. Tana Rav Yosef, Kolon Aviv Kolonimo. So Rav Yosef gives the example that the man said, for example, you know what it means that you're not, which the Pasuk means, do not uncover literally the nakedness of your father or your mother. In other words, do not have any prohibited relations with them. Yeah. So he says, don't bring shame to your father or bring shame to your mother by saying bad things about them or something like that. So he says, that's not the real interpretation. Yeah, that already extends to a different area. This is already what we would call kibbutz of the aim, but it has nothing to do with the arroyos, you understand? And another one, remember that one, you know, do not give of your seed to cause to sacrifice to the Moloch. And so Tana Dvei Rabbi Yishmael, talking about a Jew, Habal HaKusis, right, who had intercourse with a non-Jewish woman, the Holy Bimeno Ben, Ba'avodah Zorah, and as a result, he he fathered from her a son who was then enticed into Aveda Zara Kosa Medabia. This is the meaning of it according to this teaching. But as I say, they dislike, I mean, this idea, and they say that that's, again, not translating it correctly. Needless to say, we have other prohibitions in the Torah against intermarriage. That we have. We have once or twice, I mean, it's mentioned, you know, that you're not allowed to have intermarriage. But to take this pasuk, which has a specific meaning referring to idolatry, sacrificing a child to idolatry, this is not the actual meaning of it when you say simply don't have relations with a non-Jewish woman. Okay, we shall stop at this particular point.
You know what interests me about all of this?